Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, and the homie Will T is missing. He's out today, but you know, it's for a good reason, man. Big ups to my man Will T. And also, we are part of Empire Media. What's going on, Ray Jeezy?
Brother, it is zebras on the loose in my hood.
What do you mean, zebras?
Isn't that crazy?
What? Are you serious?
I know you might be used to that, the live animal stuff, but...
Go ahead, bro. That's the most ignorant thing I've heard in a while. What? I'm not used to no live animals. Regardless of what TV tries to put out there about Africa, I'm not used to no wild animals, bro. Africa has cities. Yeah, man. I'm tired, man. Yeah, but I'm with you, man. All is well. I mean, I'm breathing another day. So, you know, that's a blessing.
Brother.
You know what I'm saying? And,
huh? Enough this week.
Football, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, even college football, we haven't even talked. Yeah. I mean, that's not on the docket, but, you know, football is here, you know, all the way around, you know, so it's dope. And truth be told, to be real with you, in a couple months from now, we'll have basketball season. You know, it's just like basketball season just ended. Now it's like it's back up, so.
Yeah, it's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see HBCUs getting more shine.
That too.
Spotlight on television. The Jackson State game was not the best in terms of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
but if you are just a fan of football, you enjoyed that game. Deion Sanders' son actually is very talented. I'm excited to see him mm-hmm. grow as his career progresses, no doubt.
You know what? I get hyped to see because I followed him while I was younger at Howard University as a quarterback, Jay Walker. When I see him on TV, I get boosted, man, because I feel like – if he had a fair shake, I know we're going off topic, but it is what it is. If he had a fair shake to get, I know he got into the NFL, and I think he was drafted by the Minnesota, he was on the Minnesota Vikings squad, but if he had got a fair shake to be a starting, I mean, getting an opportunity to compete for a starting job in the NFL, I just felt like he had the skill set to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. Not to say, like, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Huh?
I know, man. I would love to.
His Twitter handle is not very active, but obviously when he's calling the game, he's there.
Yeah.
He only has a little over 3,000 something. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he'll be responsive. But yeah, Jay Walker, if you're listening, brother, we would love to have you on the show.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington football team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T would normally say this, you know what I'm saying? Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. We'll preview the Washington football team's season opener against the LA Chargers. At 8:30, we'll talk about the WNBA top 25 players all time list, which is called the W25. Finally, we'll make our week one NFL picks. All right, let's get right into it. Sunday, in their season opener, the Washington football team takes on the LA Chargers. In terms of Washington, what will you be looking for in the game against the Chargers?
Well, you know me, I don't want to beat a dead horse, or in this case, for today's sake, a dead zebra. I've been saying this constantly, even on our other pod. It's running the football, and it's converting on third down.
Mm-hmm.
And both of these areas come back to one person. That's your offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. It's going to be interesting to see if Washington can put together a complete four quarters. They look good at times in preseason, but this is going to be the first time where the starters are going to be playing normal minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be fun to see Ryan Fitzpatrick with his new weapons, looking like Curtis Samuel may or may not play. I don't know. But regardless, you got a lot of talent on that offensive side. I would love to see them control the clock, keep Justin Herbert off the football field. And you have to do that by running the ball and also, again, converting on third downs, especially third and shorts. That's what I'm going to be looking for.
I think it goes down to something you stated during the preseason, and you know, it's all connected to Scott Turner, but it's all about finishing drives, right? We saw a lot of it last season during the regular season when Alex Smith was the quarterback, and we saw the same thing a little bit in the preseason we saw it a lot in the preseason with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it gets down to what's the cause. Is it quarterback play, or is it, you know, game, you know, or is it the OC? And again, it's hard to go off of that in preseason, but that's still something, a trend, right? It's a trend that you saw in the last season, you saw last season, you saw in preseason. So that's something that I will be looking for. And also, the play of say, like the running game, I think it's important to see if this running game is going to be what people expect. Is Gibson going to be that guy? You know, a lot of people are believers that this guy could be a top 10 running back. Will he set the tone and be that guy?
That's a great question, because he has the talent. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is we all talked about the Mike Greenberg segment where he just picked Washington football to be the surprise team of this season. And Antonio Gibson is one of those reasons that he mentioned, which shows that people are recognizing what he's capable of. But I'm hoping that he'll be able to stay healthy. That's my biggest concern. But if he's not healthy, it's next man up. And if there's one thing that I'm excited about with this team is depth. I feel as though all across the board, defense and offense, this team has depth. So if someone gets hurt, which is inevitable, there's going to be injuries. You got to have the next man up approach. And I'm hoping that Ryan Fitzpatrick will utilize McKissick and Gibson out the backfield in the passing game, because we know that's critical to your success too if you're the Washington football team.
Okay, so I read. We posted this question on our social media platforms. This is posted on Urban Sports Scene on Twitter and also our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Mr. Woo One on Twitter tweeted, "I'm going to be looking for the offense to put together long scoring drives, pick up third downs, run the ball often to negate Chargers pass rush from teeing off on us. Looking for our defense to provide more quick pressure on Herbert and consistently stop their run game." What do you think about that, Ray? I think it's a lot. I mean, what do you think about that, Ray? I'll let you chime in on that before I chime in.
Of course, this is a defensive football team, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked by any of what is being said out there. I've read a lot today. I've been on social media quite frequently because I'm looking forward to this first game. And all of the fans, all of us who, of course, are content creators, we are chiming in because we think that this team can be a potential contender for the Super Bowl. I saw you put that. I said NFC Championship game. I don't think they'll go beyond that. But still, that says a lot, and it's largely because we have faith in this defense that has stars up front. And I'm going to say it again, stars. And, you know, shout out to our, what do you want to call it, our stable mate, John Kime. He put out the article about the Herbert versus Chase Young kind of a debate. I know it's just for fun, and he loves Chase Young, and so do I. There's no debate there. Chase Young is the future of this organization, and I think that he's also the leader on the team, and this team kind of goes with him and what energy he brings. So I'm looking forward to seeing him set the tone. If he can do that, get pressure, create havoc, this is going to be a great day because, again, he's going to get the entire team pumped. But if Chase Young starts slow, it's going to be difficult for, I think, the rest of the team to get going. And I actually anticipate that it's going to take some time for this team to gel. I don't expect to see the finished product on the field this first week. And that's on the defensive side of the football as well. I think it's going to take a little time as this season gets kicked off. The difference, though, between this year and last year is you had a full training camp.
Yeah.
So that's scary if you're a Washington football team fan, because last season you didn't and the team still came together.
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun to watch. But overall, I expect to see as the season progresses, this team is just going to – they're going to gel. And defensively, they're going to get stronger and stronger. They should be the top defense by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
I just think that from what I saw in preseason, I just think that they look ready defensively. I think offensively, I think that's a thing that I agree with you. I think they'll start a little slow.
Sure.
I think defensively, I think Chase Young is already working off of week 10 from what I've saw. Like, from what I've seen already, it's like I don't expect him to start slow, to be honest with you. I think he'll start fast. I just think that From what I've seen, it's just he looks motivated, and he looks, and you know, you can see even in preseason that the man has developed more skill, because a lot of folks have stated, you know, last season that he was just working off of sheer athletic ability, and that's a lot of ability, right? But still, you can see in the preseason that he wanted to showcase what he brought to the table, and you could tell that he's learned from season one, and he has the drive to, you know, to be a better football player. So I expect the defense to start fast. I do think there'll be learning curves with, say, the with Jamin Davis being the rookie. I think that will be the learning. I think that will be the situation with a player on the defense starts pretty slow. But I think, like you said, Ray, I think he'll get better over time. But I think Chase will be ready to rock and roll. On Twitter, our man Cameron Mingo tweeted us: Ryan Fitzpatrick can he get this get the offense going something that he didn't do during the preseason? It goes back to what Ray and I were talking about. In the preseason, this team didn't finish drives. And that's, again, it's preseason, but you can only go off of what you see, and what we've seen in the past from this offense in general. And they have to finish drives. And Ryan Fitzpatrick with this unit, they've shown flashes in the preseason, but they didn't finish drives. So that's something I think everybody wants to see. They want to see this offense, you know, with Scary Terry, with Nyami Brown, Gibson and Logan Thomas. See if these individuals can finish the drive. So, yeah, I think pretty much it's more offensively geared. But it will be an interesting game, though, because like you said, Ray, like this Chargers team off defensively does have talent. It's like if they can they put it all together to give the Washington offense, you know, give a serious challenge. I expect it to be a challenge, but. You know, they got a lot of weapons on the other side of the football, too.
Bro, are we going there yet? Because I want to ask you a quick question.
Go ahead, bro.
In reference to Dustin Hopkins, we talk about finishing drives.
Yeah.
That includes Dustin Hopkins Facts. Being efficient.
Facts.
If Dustin Hopkins struggled this week, do you see a change, or do you see Ron bring in somebody to challenge for that starting kicker spot? What do you think?
They already got a kid already in the practice squad from the Chicago Bears. I forget his name. But he's been a kicker in the NFL. So he's on a practice squad ready for just in case. They say, from what I've read, it's more of a COVID situation. So they wouldn't be kind of short. You know, if Hopkins gets COVID, they would have a kicker ready to go. But yeah, I think that if he has a bad game, I want to say his name is Pinero or Pinario or something like that. But
okay,
if he has a bad game.
I know who he is. Yeah. I didn't hear that they brought him
They
in.
Brought him. He's on a practice squad. He's in.
Okay.
All right. So if he, you know, if I believe Hopkins struggles, dude's replacing him. I think it's not just a COVID thing. I think that's Hopkins' replacement if Hopkins struggles. I would have preferred them to get a better option because Chicago kickers are kind of iffy, but you know, I do think that, you know, if he starts off slow to what you're talking about, I do think that, he's going to lose his job ASAP because this team can't afford to have have kickers miss easy kicks when they need points, right? They can't afford to go on drives and get empty points off of, say, a 30-yard kick and you're missing him. You're missing these 30-yard kicks consistently. I'm not one of these ignorant football fans that say, oh, you missed a 50-yard kick. Oh, you're horrible. It's a 50-yard kick for a reason. I think there's certain kicks that we all can admit that are a little tougher than others. So when they miss it, you shouldn't be pissed off. Like, it's a 50-yard kick. Like, let's be real. Like, back in the day, those were hit or miss. You know, even your best kickers would miss those kicks. So every kicker's not Justin Tucker. So people have to chill out on that. But when it comes to like the 40 yard kick, then yeah, I agree. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think those are the kicks that if he misses, that we can all kind of talk and be like, oh, I can't believe you missed that. So on our Facebook page, same question. Some other posts. I'm gonna read them all before we go to our next question or next topic.
Sure.
George said the defense to score. Chargers not playing Herbert in the preseason will be a big mistake. Also, Brandon Curry said pressure from the defense and the offense taking shots down the field. And John Coasted said points. All good comments. We appreciate the posts and whatnot. But yeah, I feel like the defense, they have to set the tone. I think that's essential. I think the defense has to set the tone. The offense has to take advantage of their situation, of their plays, and they have to have to, but it'd be good to see them come up with some explosive plays to make things a little bit easier rather than trying to, you know, have those long, extensive drives. Though I'm not against long, extensive drives, but, you know, it would be good to have some quick points, some easy points, rather than kind of waiting it out. You know what I'm saying? So,
dude, when you play in a Chargers team that has a brand new coaching staff, yeah. I don't think the preseason matters that much. You're not going to know what's coming. It's going to be hard to game plan for them, which is the scary part about this team for me. And mm-hmm. we just had a text chain. Me, you, and Mo. Shout out to my man Mo. You know, all burgundy, gold, everything. Mm-hmm. And Alvin Kamara is like his favorite player. Oh, my gosh. He's a Giants fan, but he loves Alvin Kamara. And similar to Alvin Kamara, the L.A. Chargers have Austin Eckler.
Eckler, yeah.
He's kind of like hot on his fantasy football.
I know, man. I mean,
I'm not on right now, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Sorry. I've seen that all day on social media as well. But think about this. Joe Lombardi, he's now the OC for the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
He coached Darren Sproles and, of course, we just mentioned Alvin Kamara. If you look at Austin Eckler's his skill set, he's very similar to Kamara, and I think he's going to pose some issues for the Washington football team and getting this L.A. Chargers offense off the field because along the defense is on the field, they're fatigued,
yeah.
and that can be as effective. So that worries me, although, again, yeah. it comes back to what I said about the offense, of course. If Washington can keep that offense off the field, then by running the ball and converting on third down, he'll be fine. But we'll see.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see Austin Eckler up close in person.
My biggest fear with the Chargers, I guess the biggest challenge the Chargers pose is the quarterback. I think Justin Herbert is just a dude. He's just that dude. It's more than Eckler. I think Eckler is fine. I don't rate him as high as Kamara. I think he does certain things that are good for that football team. I think it's a little bit for me when I watched Eckler. I think he was better in a certain system, but he's solid. He's a good runner.
Oh,
he's a good running back.
See, you disrespectful, bro. You did the same thing to Kamara. Like he ain't on. Like,
no, he ain't, but he's not. I mean, Kamara, bro. But look. I mean, how many times has Eckler gone over 1,000 yards rushing?
Bro, in 2019, you talking about running?
Running.
I'm just talking about yards.
Yes, I'm saying like I'm. Matter. That's what I'm talking about. Like Kamara's a 1,000-yard rusher and a high level reception. I'm just saying in terms of running the football, right? Because I'm not saying just in the passing game because he's great in the passing game. Like I agree with you, he's great in the passing game. But as a runner, it's not like he's a two-way dog. Like I think there are certain levels. Are you telling me? Is he more comparable to a Darren Sproles? If you want to say that, I'll give you that. But I think Kamara is more of a dual threat than Eckler. And it's not a knock on Eckler. I'm not saying he's a bad running back. And he's not going to be a threat. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that when we're talking about Kamara, and you're right, I was hating on that dude in the beginning, so I'm not going to act like I wasn't. But
I'll say it like this to kind of translate what I think you're trying to say is, Austin Eckler is not an every down back.
Yeah, he's just not. Like, it's not. I'm not.
I respect that. I just feel like it's certain guys that give the Washington football team problems. You know what I'm saying? I even saw glimpses of that last season, like the Cincinnati game with Giovanni Bernard, who can catch out the backfield.
Yeah, but again, but you're talking about. Okay, so this is the thing. What you're comparing that to is slow linebacker play. That's just a whole different. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, okay. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, you're comparing that to slow linebacker play. And then, well, you're right. They were faster than that. Like, that's the same thing. Reason why Daniel Jones can run for like 100 yards on him. You know, again, I'm not saying that Eckler won't have a good game. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just, if we're going off of, it's a different scheme. It's a different unit in terms of speed anyway. That too. It's just a different unit in terms of speed, but it can definitely play out the way you're saying. I'm just saying that like, for me, like that threat is that quarterback. Like that quarterback dangerous. Like he dangerous. And then they got wide receivers. They got weapons. It's not like they don't have wide receiver mm-hmm. weapons. They have what's it dude what's I'm having a moment right now. Their star wide receiver. You know what I'm talking about right now? He played for Tennessee in college. I want to say outside. What is his name? Number 13. What am I having this moment for? Why am I having this moment? Keenan Allen. Thank you. Sorry. Keenan Allen. Thank you. Keenan Allen. They have Keenan Allen. They got the kid from Clemson and Mike Williams. They have another dude.
I like
Mike Williams. They have another dude too. They have like three decent receivers. And so they got studs, man. Like they got studs. So Allen's going to have, Herbert's going to have opportunities to make big plays because Keenan Allen's one of the best route running wide receivers in the game. And so folks like Jackson, St. Jude's, Fuller, they're gonna have their hands full. So I just think that, they do have
The
weapons.
pressure
It's
comes in,
yeah,
brother.
that's what the
Pressure
pressure, that's
brings
what it is. But
hype.
the thing about, and this is the cool thing, the thing that does help out the Washington football team is that Herbert likes to hold on to the football and make plays. So it's gonna get individuals like Chase Young and Sweat, opportunities to put a hit on him. You know what I mean? Because
Okay, so
he does like to make
are you
plays.
saying that fast linebacker play means that your current linebacking core can cover running backs out in space?
Better than they did before. That's my point.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure it out because
Yeah,
I
better.
respect where you're coming from, but I think for me at least, this is just me personally, I
Yeah.
gotta see it
Yeah,
first.
you gotta see it,
I'm
but
not one of those guys
yeah.
that I'm like Jamin Davis is dumb athletic as Lake Lewis said, which is absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
However, until we see kind of him evolve and develop, I think it's kind of a wait and see approach. Just
Yeah.
for
No,
me,
I
you know what I'm
agree. I
saying?
agree. I just say it's just hard to state that the same dude's gonna give you problems if you got a whole different unit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not the same unit. Like, you don't have what's the dude's name? Number 54 that who was Pierre Louis, who was slow.
54.
Pierre Louis, who was slow, checking a lot, who was checking running backs a lot. You're not gonna have him in coverage that much. You're gonna have
I said makes the point.
Bostic's gonna play out, huh?
I said makes the point. Where my
Yeah,
bad, bro.
Mason. Exactly. That's another example too in the past. Mason
Oh
Foster.
yeah, in the past.
In the past, you're right. But those, but
Yeah.
they, it goes to, but it does support your argument, right? That everything that you've seen the last some odd years, these type of individuals have given this defense issues because they had the same kind of player through these last some odd years. But they don't now. Like, these linebackers are totally are faster than they were before. And so that's the thing. Like, you won't. They shouldn't be, if coached correctly, they shouldn't be in that situation where they can't. You having, say, a Mason Foster like on an Eckler shouldn't be happening. It won't be happening. You have 4.3, 4.4 speed in linebacker other than Bostic. You know what I'm saying? And Bostic will be outside. He won't. I think they're having Jamin Davis in the middle, so he'll do most of the coverage anyway. So, I mean, we'll see. Again, I'm not. I know you get where you're coming from, but I'm just saying, like, it shouldn't be as easy as it's been in the past. Put it that way. I think that's a fair way to state it. It shouldn't be as easy as it was in the past. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, which is at empiremedia.com. All right, so Curtis, you mentioned Curtis Samuel. He's coming back. I mean, I might say it's not a guarantee he's coming back, but he's been seen in practice, right? Do you think? Well, I mean, what do you think his impact will be on Sunday?
Of course, he poses that down the field threat. I know my man Brandon mentioned that he wants to see the team take shots. So Curtis Samuel, he's that guy. I mean, you talk about speed. Dyami Brown might be your fastest receiver at this point, just from what I've seen. But still, he's that vertical threat that Washington over the course of, I want to say the last decade, outside of Santana Moss maybe comes to mind. They've lacked. Oh no, just Deshaun
Deshaun
Jackson.
Jackson,
Can't disrespect him. My bad.
yeah.
But outside of those two guys, they've lacked a consistent vertical threat. And then you didn't have quarterbacks to get these guys the ball. I remember Colt McCoy saying, "Deshaun Jackson's so fast, I cannot throw
Facts, though.
to him." So the exciting part, at
Street
least from
facts.
our vantage point, is that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a dude who will sling it down the field. He's done it over the past several seasons, even though his situation has been messed up. He's been in and out of the lineup. You know what I mean? One minute he start, next week like third on the depth chart. But now he's number one here. There seems to be some loyalty and consistency with Coach Rivera's staff. So I'm thinking that Curtis Samuel, if he steps on the field, as it was alluded to today, he may not be in the best condition in terms of
Yeah,
game shape,
I heard about
but
that.
he'll create that either that threat or that decoy that you'll need, and that should help open things up for other guys, including in the tight end game.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. So to your point, what would be the biggest question mark going into the game? Would it be Curtis Samuel or would it be like something else?
Not at all. I think we know what Curtis Samuel brings to the table. His familiarity with Ron helps. I think it's the running game. I'm gonna keep saying over and over again, are you going to average near 5 yards a carry as a team? I think you should, and I think that with the threats that we're talking about at receiver, that should make it simpler to run the football. Again, what is going to be the scheme going in? What is your offensive game plan? It's going to be fun to see Sky Turner without the excuses of the quarterback carousel and with the injuries. Everybody's healthy coming to this game. The offensive line looks good. You actually upgraded there. So I'm thinking that if you run the ball effectively, that's going to be the key in hopefully securing a victory at home.
Bruh.
Biggest question mark, though. They haven't done it.
Bruh, you just named running games. You name all this other stuff. I mean, you said his name earlier, man. I saw Candyman. I'm going to mention his name. I don't care, bruh. Like, hey, Scott Turner is the biggest question mark. Let's just keep it a buck, bruh. That's the biggest question mark. Everybody, like you said, the excuses have been out there. Oh, man, look at the quarterbacks he had last season. First look at the situation year. He had last year. It's his first year. You know what I mean? Now, hey. There's no excuses no more, bruh. There's no like even when we was going on them a little bit in preseason, it's preseason, so you can't tell. All right, here we go. Season's about to start. So he's the biggest question mark. What kind of offensive coordinator is he? Is he the dude that gets pass happy? Is he the dude that believes in balance? Is he the dude that believes in the running game of physicality? Who is he as an OC? Like now. We're going to be able to answer that question, right? Because because he has the question. There's no, you got a limited quarterback or your quarterback's too immature. You know what I'm saying? You now have a healthy quarterback, mature. You know what I mean? You got a backup in Heineke who's familiar with your system, and Kyle Allen as a third string. So you have quarterbacks to kind of work your system the way you want it because they're familiar with you anyway. And then you got a vet, a guy who's over the last three seasons has been a productive quarterback. There's no excuses now, bro. Like, there's no excuses. I don't even care. Like, let's see who you are in terms of an offensive coordinator. Because everybody can't have an Aaron Rodgers. Everybody can't have a Tom Brady. All right? So we need – everybody can't have a Patrick Mahomes. So – or Justin Herbert. That's now that's with the Chargers. So – I'm just keeping the buck. Like, all right, let's see what you can do. Because we know, for instance, he's the head coach, but we know what a Sean Payton can do with limited, quarterback. We know what he can do.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Can you adapt? When Taysom Hill comes in, they adapt to his strength.
Exactly.
They make adjustments. I even seen
look at Shanahan.
Castle filled in when Tom Brady was out.
Yeah.
And the Patriots still went 11-5. Now I know some people say, "Oh, that's the Patriots." Yeah.
Nah.
But what weapons did the Patriots
exactly,
have
bro.
That are better than what Washington currently has in the receiving corps?
Yeah. Oh, look at Shanahan. I mean, I'm talking about Kyle. Look at how Matt Ryan's a good quarterback, but Matt Ryan had probably his best year with Kyle, right?
Of course.
All right. No look at Matt Schaub in Houston with the Texans. So look at Jimmy G got him to the bowl. Now he's got a young dude in Trey Lance that it looks the part. It looks like a great fit because he has Kyle as his coach.
McVay too.
Yeah. So I'm just saying we get to see now. There's no more what if, right? There's no more excuses. This is it. This is to me that's the biggest question mark.
I'm totally with you on that one. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I was going as well. In terms of this being the first game, what do you expect the stadium to look like? I'm just going to say I think COVID is more of a factor than lack of support. Because with Jason Wright on board, you have a female on the coaching staff, Ron Rivera as head coach. This team is headed in the right direction from a PR standpoint, which I think is helping to increase or kind of reinvent themselves and bring back the fans. So I'm hoping that the fan support – will be dope, but at the same time, we're cautious around these parts, bro.
Yeah,
like
we are.
If you vaxxed, unvaxxed, we're all wearing masks. We're not real quick to go somewhere. Even if we had opportunity to cover the game as members of the media, it wouldn't be just a simple decision. Well, it wasn't just a simple decision right away. You're like, well, maybe I'm gonna stay home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you are thinking about this virus, and the media themselves are the ones talking about the surges all over the country.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So, I think that's going to be the biggest factor. But I think the fan support is starting to restore.
Yeah, I think it'll be improved from what we saw over the last semi years under a different regime. I think as you mentioned, Ray, I just feel like the people in charge, Jason Wright, Julie Donaldson, in terms of working on the communication PR team, these individuals have kind of made it open to kind of bring back the fans in many different elements, right? In various different ways. So I just think that it's bringing more momentum to the cause of bringing back the fans and bringing back that feeling, right, of being a Washington football team fan. So I expect on Sunday for them to have a good showing, a good turnout. It won't be the visitors won't overwhelm the stadium. Put it that way.
Well, the point was made that the Chargers should have too many fans around these spots.
So
you should not see
bro, real talk,
Chargers fans in Washington.
I will tell you this, in the past that didn't even matter. Wow. There were certain teams that you'd be like, how the are you
lights
even
out. Sean yeah, Merriman,
yeah, I'm just telling you, that doesn't even matter. Sometimes in the past, there's been some weird teams that have kind of beat FedEx. That's how I look at it. Beat the fans in FedEx. That's all I'm saying. There have been some weird teams. All right, so how much pressure is it for this football team to start the season 1-0 if they want to get to where I think they could be? Put it that way. I won't even say where you where I think they can be.
I put a lot of stock into the first game. Mm-hmm. I am a little bit concerned. I'm one of those guys who I look at trends and, mm-hmm. you know, we think about what may or may not jinx the team. And this preseason hype is not a good thing in my eyes. Because, again, we're talking about this offense. And the first year, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a starter. Scott Turner still learning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see, like you mentioned earlier, the offense necessarily gelling right away.
Yeah,
I think it's going to take them a few games to develop that chemistry and consistency, which says to me they'll probably lose this first game to a Chargers team that has a quarterback who is coming in, as you said, who's dynamic, who is potentially going to be an all-time great the way he started his career.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming in with no pressure. You obviously coming in with a new coach. Expectations aren't the highest. You're not expected to win your division, obviously, because of who's in it. So they have nothing to lose, everything to gain in this game. Watching the football team, on the other hand, they're expected defensively at least to be great. And right now, I don't know if they're ready for those type of expectations. I think it's going to take some games to again, develop chemistry, especially on offense with your quarterback, your OC, and in that running game. So I expect that they'll lose this first game, but no panic. I don't want to see Twitter going off like, we need changes here. It doesn't need to be sweeping. I say that every season. We don't need to be impulsive. Chill out.
Fact.
But if you, of course you win this game, of course it's going to feel good. And that's the worst thing that can happen to the rest of the league is if this defense shows well and then they develop momentum off a 1-0 start.
Yeah, I'm a little different. I think they do need to win this game to be where I think you should be. No, I'm being real. Like, I just feel like, you know, if because you're going to have other teams that to me are going to be far better than this team. And it's not a knock on this team. I think the team they're playing is an adequate team. It's a team that could beat anybody on any given Sunday. It could beat this team on any given Sunday easily. But if you're playing, it's a home game. There's an opportunity to kind of, you know, to show the world or, you know, show the NFL and other teams that this defense is for real. Because I expect the defense to set a tone. Like, I don't expect it to be easy for Justin Herbert. I just feel like just the combination of a lot of things in terms of, you know, his drive to make the big play. I think that kind of fits into what this defense wants to do. But, if they come in this game and the Chargers dominate, then this is something they're going to have to kind of reevaluate. I feel like, but if it's to a point where we, like for me, how bullish I have been on this football team via social media, this is the game they need. You know what I mean? Because I'm a firm believer in setting momentum, right? You know, we talk about momentum all the time. I'm a firm believer in setting momentum. And if you can start this, you know, start the season strong, especially not being one of the, you know, the favorites, the quote unquote favorites to win it all or whatever. If you set the tone early, just like San Francisco did when they got to the bowl, you set the tone early and let folks know you here. Then that just builds momentum to a point where, all right, now everybody knows and everybody in the locker room believes. And once a whole unit believes, then you know you have something scary.
Interesting. I think if you lose this first game, then there's going to be a sense of urgency coming into week two. I don't think there's going to be heads held down and frustrated, or I don't think there's going to be an overreaction.
Fact.
The fans are going to overreact.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's no right or wrong answer
in
this situation because for some, the expectations are high.
Yeah.
So you want to win this first game. You want to start out like, kind of like what you're mentioning. But for others, there's not just 16 games, there's 17 games.
Of course. You
have more games to play. You have an additional game at least.
Mm-hmm.
And that does make a difference if you ask me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that you prepare for the long haul, which is why you built this roster the way you did. Dude, you got the right coaching staff. You got a good system in place right now.
Mm-hmm.
No panic if you lose this first game. But, of course, if you win, you want to win every game. So that's the goal.
You are correct, sir. You could take us to break, Ray.
Hey, the WNBA has come out with their top 25 greatest players. We'll talk about this after the break. You listen to Urban Sports Team on Empire Media.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole. The homie Will T is out, and we are part of Ampire Media at AmpireMedia.com.
All right, brother. Prior to the break, I alluded to the WNBA coming out with this W25, the top 25 greatest WNBA players ever. And some, of course, popular names on there. Me and you remember the Houston Comets days when they were just dominant. With Cynthia Cooper and Cheryl Swoops. And obviously, they had a rival back then. I ain't going to say no name. Well, they had two rivals.
Yeah.
The Sparks, which had Lisa Leslie. And then they had the New York Liberty, which on this list, Becky Hammon is, I guess, representative. Of course, Elena Delladon represented Washington Mystics.
That's what's up.
To some degree, Tina Charles, even though, sir, what, second season with the team. I don't really consider her like a real Mystic. Quote unquote, unlike Elena, who I believe is going to have her jersey retired.
Facts.
In Washington.
Facts.
But still, overall, the list looks amazing. But me and you have a mutual issue with it.
Yeah.
And it seems like we have the same person we want on it, and we have the same person we want off of it. And that is Teresa Weatherspoon going on the list and Becky Hammon coming off. I'll let you share your reasons first.
But, bro, like, it just, it's crazy to me how she's not on it because, like you mentioned, they actually had epic battles with the New York Liberty versus the with the Houston Comets. And you remember that half-court shot that she hit? Like, she was... She was a player that just wasn't she embodied what the WNBA was, right? It was the underdog trying to build his brand up. Man, she was a pit bull on the court. She strapped. She did whatever she took it took to win a basketball game. She's a Hall of Famer. That's one. She's a Hall of Famer. And she led that team, a team that was supposed to be led by Rebecca Lobo, right? Because that was the play they wanted to promote. But it was her. It was her. She was the one. You know what I mean? So when you think of the New York Liberty, you don't even think of Becky Hammon. You think of Cynthia Cooper. I mean, Teresa Witherspoon. That's what you think of. So I'm like, yo, how is she not on the list? Like, it makes no sense. And then for me, when we look at popularity, she helped build that brand of the WNBA. Like, to me, I always reference this to – and I reference this like back then when you look at the founding fathers or the founding women, excuse me, of the WNBA in terms of the highest pop in terms of popularity, the most exciting time to really watch it for me was that time. And you had a bunch of Hall of Fame women, Hall of Famers balling, and they play with grit. And she was no exception. She was not the second tier, lower tier. She was at the top of the game. She was up there. Now, she as skilled as a Cynthia Cooper or as skilled as a Cheryl Swoops? No, she wasn't. But she brought her energy, her dog to the table. She was like, to me, like a Gary Payton-ish type of baller. You know what I'm saying? That's a big miss for the WNBA. She should definitely be on the list.
Okay, so we had Chastity Melvin on the show. Shout out to her. Maybe I'll mention her on Twitter. Just get her comments because she said on this show, our era was special. Like she
it
said,
was.
This current era right here does not compare.
It doesn't
to when
to
the
me.
Houston Comets was like a dynasty.
Yeah,
and actually was drawing interest from fans
everywhere, everywhere, bro, everywhere.
The WNBA today, I love it. Me and you, we love it. We've covered it. We've been there in person. But it's not drawing the same interest, at least from my vantage point, that it was back then.
Yeah.
And why is that important? Because back then, in this special era, Teresa Weatherspoon was a top 10 pick. A top 10 pick when the WNBA was just kind of getting off the ground, correct?
Yeah.
Inaugural draft. She's also two-time defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Gary Payton. She straps. Also, she's a 5-time All-Star, mm-hmm. and she led the league in assists before. Mm-hmm. So right there, that says to me Becky Hammon doesn't compare. And then when I compare it to, like, the men's side, we celebrate, or the media celebrates guys like Draymond Green all the time.
All the time.
Draymond Green can have 2 points, 3 assists, 10 rebounds, and it was like, he's just the heart and soul of the team. He's on the Olympic team. He's on the All-Star team. He's a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. And they come out with a freaking list. Draymond Green is probably going to be on it. Like, he's paid like a top guy. Like, yeah. he's got the max dollars. And it's like, seriously? Like, I mean, I like Draymond. You know, yeah. I like Draymond. Yeah. I don't like his attitude per se, but that's okay. But my point is, if we're going to celebrate a guy like Draymond Green, who, as Charles Barkley joked, puts up triple singles, then Teaspoon, who defended, was defensive player of the year twice, the heart and soul of your team, how come she's not on this list? But Becky Hammon is. I know Becky Hammon played for the Russian national team. She has dual citizenship.
That's great.
She couldn't get a spot on the Olympic team here, which says something, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't get why she was left off. And unfortunately, it's not anything necessarily personal against Becky Hammon. I can't see anybody else except for maybe Katie Smith that I could take off.
Yeah, exactly. I think Katie Smith can be taken off. I think a lot of people. I mean, I think I don't like to take people off lists. I won't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I won't do that. But I mean, in this situation, that's for like anybody other than obviously the all-time greats that we see on this list. But mm-hmm. so she deserves it. She deserves that credit. You know what I'm saying? Especially for the WNBA, because if we're looking at who's done a lot for the WNBA, Teresa Witherspoon should be on there. Like, she did so much for the league. So much. Because to be real with you, Dawn Staley is probably more talented than some of these people on this list. But I'm not saying that she should be on here, because Dawn Staley's impact isn't as big as Teresa Witherspoon. If the argument who was a better basketball player, I would say Dawn Staley was a better basketball player. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of the impact to the WNBA. No. You get what I'm saying? Like, her impact for the WNBA was bigger than anything. Again, I'm going to say this again. Go back to back then, what Rebecca Lobo was doing in UConn, right? And what how they were pushing her to be, like, not just the face of the New York Liberty, but the face of the league, right? They tried to push her that hard. She was, but that's just downplay. I think she was injured for a little bit. She came on to the team, and then it was still Teresa Witherspoon team. Like, it was her team. She was the face of that, with Becky Hammon on the squad. With all these individuals on the squad, she was the face of this team, of that team. So I'm just saying, like, she should definitely be on there, dog. It should even be, like, I'm looking at the list, I'm like, come on, man. And I guess the reason why Becky Hammon does stick out to me, because they were both on the same team. Weren't they both on the same team?
I don't know about that. I just, like I said, I can't look at anybody else that I can necessarily.
But weren't they both on the, I'm right, though. They're both on the same team, though, right? They were both on. Yes, I'm saying. Like, that's what sticks out to me. Like, they're both on the same team.
Becky was a scorer.
Yeah, she was a scorer. But they both.
I know what you mean, in terms of just the impact.
Yeah.
Like, who was the face of that squad?
But yeah.
Clearly, Teaspoon.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So it's like.
No doubt.
And I think for a while, and my memory serves me correctly, for a while, Becky was coming off the bench when Teaspoon was starting. And then they incorporated her as a starter eventually. I feel like she was coming off the bench for a little bit in the beginning of the season. It is what it is, though. That kind of rubs me the wrong way. It just does. And it's nothing against Becky Hammon, because she was a good shooter, good scorer for the team. She did a lot for the New York Liberty. This is not for me. I'm not bad-mouthing Becky Hammon. I think Becky Hammon had a great WNBA career. But we're talking about top 25, man. This needs to be said. Like, Teresa Witherspoon should be appreciated. And she's a Hall of Famer, bro. Again, she's a Hall of Famer. She's not a Hall of Famer for no reason. She got inducted to the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. That should let you know already, you know what I mean, like, where she should have been on this list.
So, on this list, who do you feel as though is considered the greatest? I'm going to tell you, Maya Moore is my pick off the jump, I guess the goal. Maya Moore is someone who obviously halted their career to pursue other interests and to pursue a cause that I just think is amazing. Like, there's no cap with her at all.
Definitely.
But as much as Taurasi was a killer on the court,
oh man, she's a killer.
I don't think there's anybody who can compare as an all-around player and just a flat-out beast than Maya Moore. And it started back when she was in high school.
Yeah.
But who would you say is the quote-unquote? Are we going to say the GOAT, like Clarissa?
The GOAT, the GOAT. The GOAT, my man.
The greatest woman, baby, or lady.
I will say the best – The best ball player I've seen in the WNBA. I'm just going to just limit it to the WNBA. I'm going to say Cynthia Cooper. I just thought what she was doing back, like, she was clutch. Like, even when Cheryl Swoops was, you know, there, like, real talk, you saw the struggle. And I love Cheryl Swoops. I think Cheryl Swoops, to me, is, like, the best basketball player I've seen, like, female basketball player I've seen in a long time. But even when you watch them together and just to see the big shot making, what, you know, what she did down the stretch, the consistency of what she did down the stretch, the consistent jumper she put out there, like, she was dog. She was like that. Like, and Maya Moore is awesome. That no knock. I think Ella Della Don is one of the best female players I've ever seen, to be honest with you. But in terms of like the WNBA game and just, you know, postseason impact, you know, especially when you're going against in competitive games and whatnot, just to see how she brought her game to another level. You know what I mean? She just had that aura. She had that vibe. She had that glow that was like, all right, you know what? It's my time. It's just rival basketball players that I've seen at that particular point in time, you know, like the Kobe's, the Michael Jordans, you know what I'm saying? Folks who, Matt Johnson, Larry Bird, folks that, all right, it's go time. You need me to step up. I'm here with Tina Thompson. I'm here with Cynthia Cooper, but it's my time. You need me to step up. And a lot of times, even when you had Cheryl Swoops and Tina Thompson on the squad, she always, her star always shined bright to me in those situations. And you can ask Al, I used to always, it's like, oh, I'm pro Cheryl Swoops. But when you go back and watch it, you see it, like Cynthia Cooper with all those two Hall of Famers on the court, she always stood out to me.
Cheryl Swoops had a baby
at
the time.
Yeah.
And obviously that halted part of her season. Mm-hmm. And Cynthia Cooper, of course, had this meteoric rise.
Yeah.
Van Chancellor said on a Cheryl Swoops special, like, once he saw Cynthia Cooper hoop, he was like, I ain't tripping off Cheryl. And Cheryl knew that.
Yeah.
And as a result, she was like, hold up, this is my spot. But yeah. I love that competitive fire for Cheryl Swoops. I think if you talk about who's more talented, I think Cheryl Swoops is more talented than Cynthia Cooper.
Of course, of course.
I guess from what you're talking about, similar to Teresa Weatherspoon, the impact of Cynthia Cooper.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
Like the Rockets fans,
they were insane.
Similar.
Yes.
When the Rockets were winning championships,
yeah,
they went back to back. Those crowds for the comments look very similar.
Very similar, bro.
And you can't say that about any other
mm-hmm.
WNBA team in the history of this league that had that type of following and that type of attendance as what we saw in Houston. And that in large part was due to Cynthia Cooper. And she was a relatively, at least to us who did not follow women's basketball, she's a relatively unknown.
Thank you, bro. Exactly.
Cheryl Miller was like that.
Yeah,
you know, she was the name that stood out because of her brother because of her family, and because of what she did at USC.
Yeah, and everybody used to talk about
women's basketball.
Yeah,
but I didn't know who Cynthia Cooper was.
Me either. I didn't either. That's what's so funny. Like I didn't like I heard about like all right Cheryl Miller when she decided to come back to play. I only knew like Cheryl Miller. You knew of her because like you said Reggie, but then you used to hear stories about how she was better than Reggie, right? So I was like, oh, I got to see this chick play. Like I got to see her play. Like, so I was so enthused about seeing her play, but then you see Cynthia Cooper, you're like, oh, this chick mean. Like, she mean. So it's crazy, man. Like, but it's but she wasn't even like my favorite player back then. I know I was like, we're going, there's so many good current players. Like Diana Taurasi to me is so skilled. Like, I think she's arguably like the most skilled. I know I mentioned Maya Moore. I think Diana Taurasi is just super skilled, what she can do with the basketball, how she can score and whatnot. But even going back then, like to me, like the most underrated baller for the WNBA has always been Yolanda Griffin. I think Yolanda Griffin was like that. She was like a double-double ready to happen. She was 20 and 10 easy.
I don't think she's underrated.
I think
the WNBA and her going head-to-head with Lisa Leslie,
yes,
I feel like some people can be real that she could get the best of
Lisa Leslie. She did, bro.
And everybody who knows basketball could see that.
Mm-hmm.
For me, is Lauren Jackson. Like
Lauren Jackson mean, bro. She mean too. Dude, I agree too. She mean.
You know, we talking about basketball was kind of phasing out of Seattle
mm-hmm.
from a professional standpoint or on the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren Jackson was out there hooping.
Mm-hmm.
This is before this current group.
Which, yep.
By the way, I mean, they're awesome.
They're awesome. They're skilled.
She's been carrying that mantle. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to talk about today's player.
Yeah.
Breonna Stewart, of course.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Lauren Jackson, and she's not even American, which is amazing. She came to the country.
Australia. Mm-hmm.
She took the lead by storm. Like, she could do it all. She was like Dylan Shrimp. Mm-hmm.
You know, Seattle. I feel you.
Who was underrated, but the ball. So that's what I would say is the most underrated player on this list. Although, for those WNBA and just basketball purists and fans, we all know what Lauren Jackson could do.
Yeah, she was a beast. You're right. Like, she was a beast. There were so many talented girls. The list is dope. I'm not gonna take any credit away from anybody on this list. You know what I mean? But I'm gonna go back to what we started talking about in the beginning. Is that, you know, when I saw the list, that omission was big time to me, bro. Like, it was a big omission to me. Cause I expected, when I was doing my research, I expected to see it. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking through it. I expected to see it. It wasn't like, oh, all right. No, I expected to see it. It was almost similar to, I want to say, yeah, when, because I don't think he made it, the top 50 players, when I didn't see Dominique Wilkins' name on the list, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you know what I mean? Because at that particular point in time, Dominique was like fifth in the NBA or top five in the NBA in scoring, all time scoring. So I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. So it's similar to that. Like, this omission is, to me, similar to that. But it's even bigger to me. It's just that because if it wasn't for a player like her being that marketable, being that player, especially in New York, who's to say the WNBA even lasts? That's how impactful she was. Who's to say that if she wasn't her, like, okay, don't get it twisted. Like, Cooper, Swoops, and Thompson were dope. Like, they were dope in terms of how they held down the league. But truth be told, they needed their Joker on that New York side. You know, they were Batman, but they needed their Joker. And New York was that Joker. And the reason they were that Joker was because of Teresa Witherspoon. That's the reason why they even got to that point.
Hey, you making your case? I totally agree. Like, I said, we had a former WNBA player on this show who acknowledged that era does not compare to this current one.
Facts, bro.
And at the time, we're mentioning two ladies in Teresa Witherspoon and Cynthia Cooper who were integral in making the league what it was at the time, man. So shout out to those ladies. Teaspoon, I know she ain't really tripping. Her impact is felt as we're discussing. And like you said, Hall of Famer. So
definitely. And I want to give a shout out to also Lisa Leslie. She was part of that group that was holding it down too. I'm not going to.
She could dunk.
So I'm not going to act like she, you know, when LA got to, I think LA even played New York in the finals too. So I'm not going to even act like it was just Houston. LA got a point where they played New York in the finals too as well. So, but yeah, I'm glad that these women are getting their, you know, getting their flowers, getting their shine, having a list like this is dope. Hopefully, again, you know, people continue to watch the brand because the WNBA is getting better even with talent. If we're looking at talent, it's getting better and better. All right. So, you know, we're going back. It's the Urban Sports Scene, Football Garbage Time, NFL Pick'em Challenge. We back, baby. We back in the building early. We'll make our week one picks after the break. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces on Empire Media.
Okay. Counting on my body, damn, the things just start to pile. Judge me how you judge me, take them bitches out of trial. Fuck 100 niggas, how them niggas love you now? You don't know love, you don't love me like my child. Lay your ass down, and that liquor get you fired up. Turn up every day, girl, it don't say that in the Bible. Can't give it up, cause you love the lifestyle. Told the girls to meet at town. Now y'all doing shots. Now them bitches got you fired.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, Wole. I mean, and Wole, my man Will T out. Again, say what's up to Will T if you're listening to the show.
Will T.
And also, we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. All right, make sure you check out, I mentioned them before, but the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL Pick'em games with them as part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Podcast Challenge. All right, you can check out the standings at www.footballgarbagetime.com. All right, Ray, we're about to make our week one picks. You know what I'm saying? This is like, man, we back at it, Ray. Here we go.
Ready, brother.
You ready, bro? You ready? All right. I already submitted my stuff via our Pick'em challenge anyway. But here we go.
So did I.
My man. All right.
And my Survivor pick.
Oh, see, I'm not in the Survivor thing. That's too much work. All right. Like, you're not doing the fantasy football joint? Yeah, I'm not doing it. Huh?
I'm on the bench this year.
Yeah, I'm on a bench with the Survivor joint. I was like, I need to take a break. There's a lot. It's a lot, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right. So here we go. Cowboys versus the Buccaneers.
You know I can't pick the Cowboys in this one, baby. I got to go with it. And Bruce Arians, I love what he's doing. And another Chase Young. We got a young guy on the Cowboys.
Oh, man, a beast, man. Michael Pearson.
Boy, Tom Brady, not the smart move.
Oh, is he?
At this point, there's nothing I can say to disrespect Tom Brady. He can retire whenever he wants. He's that dude.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks just because I can't go with the Cowboys. Y'all already know who I am. All right. Eagles versus the Falcons. I already know who I'm going.
Oh, man, this is the battle of the first and second pick potentially for next
man, it's not that bad for y'all. Stop it, bro. Don't do that. It is not that bad for y'all.
I'm looking forward to seeing Kyle Pitts. That dude is explosive.
Ain't he?
My guys, the Falcons.
I got him on my fantasy football team. Yeah, I'm going with the Falcons. I love Kyle Pitts. Hey, is Fabian Monroe starting for y'all at cornerback?
To be honest with you,
you don't know. I had to ask you.
I have a couple YouTube shows that I follow, but to be honest, I told you this. I've been following the Washington football team.
With
the Falcons just not being in contention at this point, and I don't know what they did in terms of coaching, the moves they made. I have kind of fallen back over these past two seasons. I don't know if he's starting, but the defense, hey, they can't get any worse than they were last year.
All right, man. All right, Steelers versus the Bills.
I got Buffalo.
Yeah, I got Buffalo too. Vikings versus the Bengals.
I'm gonna go with Kirk Cousins, our former friend, our cousins down in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going with Captain Kirk. Niners versus the Lions. These games are kind of
my survivor pick right here. San Fran all day.
You got San Fran? That's your survivor pick. Yeah, I got San Fran too. Cardinals versus the Titans.
I'm gonna take the Titans. Derrick Henry, man, he's that guy.
Yeah, I'm going with the Titans.
Julio's over there now. He's got another good year left in him.
I think I got one of my fantasy leagues, so he got one more good year. I know he has one. He has that one Randy Moss year in him. That's how I call it. Seahawks versus the Colts. I have the Titans too.
It's a tough game because the Colts defense is really good, but I think Jacob Eason is gonna take a little more time to develop. I know the Colts fans are pretty excited about Eason, but hey, I got to see it first, so I'm going to go with the safe bet, and that's Russ.
Well, wait, my man Carson ain't starting?
I thought he was hurt. But
now he's coming back. Yeah, they say he should be ready for week one. That's why.
We'll see.
Yeah, they say he should be ready for week one. You scared me. I'm about to say it. Yeah, I got the Colts, but only because the Colts defense has nothing to do with quarterback play. Colts defense is mean, like you mentioned. Chargers versus
Colts?
Yeah, I got the Colts. Only because the Colts defense is mean. Yeah, because the defense is mean. It has nothing to do with the quarterback, to be honest with you. It's more to do with the defense. Chargers versus the Washington football team. I know you have the Chargers, right?
I got the Chargers.
Yeah, I have Washington. Jets versus the Panthers.
I got the Panthers.
Ray has the Panthers. I have the Panthers as well. Yeah, I got the Panthers in this one. Jaguars versus the Texans. It's a bad game. It's a bad game. Say who you got?
Trevor Lawrence, okay. Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm going with Jacksonville too. Tyrod Taylor got the starting job, but it's the Texans. I'm sorry, this is not the same Texans. Browns versus the Chiefs.
I'm gonna go with KC, of course.
Yeah, I'm gonna go KC. This is a lot of the same. All right, Dolphins versus the Patriots.
I got the Dolphins.
Me too, man. What the hell? I got the Dolphins too. Jeez. All right, Packers versus the Saints.
I got the Saints.
Me too. I got the Saints too. God damn. All right, Broncos versus the Giants.
Shout out to Mo. I'm taking the G-Men.
All right, I got the Broncos. All right, cool. I know we had something different. Thank you, Jesus. All right.
The Colts game was different too. I picked Seattle. So.
I know. We good. It's like 2 out or whatever. Bears versus the Rams.
I have I got the Rams.
Yeah, I got the Bears. It's okay. We got a couple of different ones. We had like three different ones. All right, Rams. I mean, it's the Ravens versus the Raiders.
In an upset, I'm taking Las Vegas Raiders.
You taking the Raiders?
Yeah, why not, man?
Why not? No, we having fun. I feel you. I got the Ravens.
The Baltimore Ravens have two of their top running backs out for the season.
Facts, man.
And
they just, you know what they just got? They just got, what's the name? Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, like I said, they're top running backs.
I love it, bro. I love
it. And their passing game has not been the best, so you know, I'm going to go with Vegas in the upset.
You know, hey, know what's so funny?
Implications on the line,
bro. You know what's
Waller?
You know
Waller, he was like the old Vernon Davis and the old what's his name? Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates. I know he a G, bro. He a G, dog. He a G. Real talk. He a G. Like he a beast. Waller is that dude. I ain't gonna lie to you. That it looks like, all right, Ray, who's gonna be your survivor pick was who again? For the football garbage time. Who was your survivor pick?
My survivor pick was the 49ers. I'm going safe this year. Mm. My dumb butt was eliminated week one last year.
All right, Ray, Cowboys. Niners, baby. Y'all hear it here. You know what I'm saying? The Niners are Ray's survivor team. That was up, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Make sure you all subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of The Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Ampire Media shows as well as other great content. We appreciate you all for listening to the show. We went about 3 minutes over, but that's cool. 3 minutes over is cool. Ray, you have anything you want to say to the people before we jet out?
If you live out here where I am, you see a zebra, call somebody.
All right, man. My man says Africa. He says this, I'm African. I see wildlife. That's what's up, man. This is my guy. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. Unique deuces. A mega. Lead us out, big homie. Yeah.